What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matthew Collar joining us live from Detroit, Rock City. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Detroit's beautiful this morning.
Isn't it always? Is it cloudy? It's always cloudy there.
Detroit's beautiful.
It's not too bad. It's always cloudy. A beautiful day here. I'm not even kidding. I'm staying by the river, so it's pretty beautiful. It's cold. I walked last night a little bit, and... wasn't great.
You walked at night in Detroit by yourself?
That's a really bad moment.
Oh, you had to go there. You want to be one of those people.
I care about you.
Minneapolis too, you know.
I care about you. I don't want you to get hurt, that's all. I genuinely do.
That's fine.
Matt, we've been talking this morning, and as we love to do, we love to compare teams. And I'm wondering your thoughts on this, comparing this 2024-25 team to the 09-10 team. What do you think, if you looked at these two teams head-to-head, which team is better in your mind?
Yeah, that's a hard one because I think 09 is a tough argument to make against because of the quarterback and the running back. And I know Adrian had some fumbling issues in a particular championship game, and the quarterback's threw across his body in that game, but when you
Porter.
Think about, you know, putting Adrian Peterson, one of the great running backs in history, with one of the great running backs, or with one of the great quarterbacks in history in Brett Favre, that's a little bit different than what the Vikings have in Sam Darnold, whose history is not exactly like Brett Favre's was, which was already, you know, a Hall of Fame career. But I do think Justin Jefferson has elevated his game even more than where he was before, because it's not just catching passes. I think he was always a high-effort player, but this year we've seen him battle in ways that I think has raised the level of everybody on this team. You saw him last week. They throw a screen pass to Cam Akers, and he pushes the cornerback into the end zone, allows that to be a touchdown. The details of his route running, the way he's dealt with the double teams, I mean, all that stuff, that's a huge factor for comparing, because Jefferson was better than any receiver on that team. I think the defenses are pretty equal, but maybe the factor just has to be that this team has more wins than that team did. It's pretty close. I just think that there's always going to be that thing hovering in the back of your mind about Sam Darnold and whether he's going to turn back into something else. Personally, I think we've just gone too far for that. This is your quarterback. He's grown so much with Kevin O'Connell. He's playing like the guy who was supposed to be a number three overall draft pick. But if there's going to be a slight edge, it's probably just how much you would have trusted a Favre-led team. But both teams have tons of defensive talent. Both of them are great at stopping the run. This is what it is to be a real Super Bowl contender, which the Vikings are.
Matt, here's a quick question for you, and you just mentioned it because you, like everybody, has been giving Kevin O'Connell a lot of the props for what he's been able to do with Sam Darnold. And I was talking to a really good friend of mine the other day, just yesterday, and he said, you know, everybody says it's O'Connell. He goes, Pete, he's part of it, but the real guy is Josh McCown, who he and Sam played together with the Jets, and that relationship is great. And apparently the coaching that he's been able to give him, he probably doesn't give nearly enough credit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go 14-2 and you're headed into the playoffs, everybody is going to start to get credit eventually, you know, and I think Josh McCown is going to start finally getting talked about here. But McCown – has not been a guy to pat himself on the back. I know that until recently, he's mostly wanted to stay out of the media eye. I know that when national reporters come in, they always want to talk to Josh McCown because they know him from the league, and he's turned down a lot of those requests this year, and I think he has been a really, really vital aspect of this coaching staff. I mean, you saw even from the beginning of training camp how hands-on he was with the receivers. One of my favorite things to watch, because Josh McCown is actually enormous. You have no idea how big this man is until you see him in person. And he runs routes for the guys, because he did briefly play wide receiver in the NFL for a game for the Lions. So he's out there running routes for those guys, giving them feedback, and working really closely with them on every detail. He's basically an extension of what O'Connell wants, which, you know, when he hired McCown, the idea is you need someone who's seen those throws, who's done them themselves, who knows how the NFL operates on an X's and O's level. And then he's a great communicator. He has the trust of Darnold for sure, as you mentioned. You know, I really think that Kevin O'Connell, something that he doesn't get credit enough for, but is a major, major part of his success, is his hiring. The people that he's put around, I mean, think about Keenan McCardle has to be the premier wide receivers coach in the entire NFL, right? I mean, you look at even Jalen Naylor is developing, and Jordan Addison, the way that he's come along really quickly in these last 2 years. The offensive line coach, they lose Christian Darrisaw. They find a way to survive that with some moving pieces. Chris Cooper has done a tremendous job. So I think that that's one of Kevin O'Connell's hacks to being a great coach. You're right. The credit all goes to the guy who's wearing the head coach hat. But it really does take everybody to get to this point.
So, Matt, let me ask you this, because we had a lengthy discussion about this as well. By the end of last week, I was pretty convinced that the Vikings had no choice but to bring Sam Darnold back next year in one way or the other. My thought is you franchise him for a year and just make sure that you've got some consistency there. And Pete made a great point about, but then what do you do, because you have a lot of other guys that you have to try to sign and give money to. Put on your GM hat here. What do you do next year with him?
Well, I think I can make Pete feel a little bit better with just the way they've organized their salary cap. They're going into next year with about $70 million in cap space to work with. So even if you franchise Darnold and it's somewhere in the range of 40, that's really not different than what they're paying for the quarterback position this year, because Kirk Cousins is already taking $28 million of dead cap on this year's salary cap, and they've worked around it to be a 14-win team. So if they were to franchise tag him, they could still sign those guys. They could still go into free agency and sign players. And one of the things that they've done really well, and this comes from the Wilf ownership being willing to write the checks for signing bonuses, is that they will sign guys with low cap hits early in the contract, and it gets bigger, but then they can restructure them later. So just to give you an example, I believe Andrew Van Ginkle's cap hit for this year is $3 million. And, of course, he's worth way more than $3 million, but that's the type of thing that you can do when your ownership will pay those guys. And we saw the Vikings do this successfully in 2018-19 with the salary cap successfully, of being able to fit Kirk Cousins in, because it was the same sort of conversation. Well, aren't they going to lose people? They didn't lose anybody from those 2 years. They just came up short. But as far as Darnold goes, I think we probably in Seattle may have just gone past the point where you could say, all right, hey, just move on and put in McCarthy. I think it would actually at this point be unfair to McCarthy. Hey, kid, I know you've never played before, but go match what that dude did and just playing like an MVP. But I also think that the NFL changes so fast. Mm-hmm. With quarterbacks, things happen, injuries, that you also don't want to bail on J.J. McCarthy or even make a long-term commitment here, because you can't be sure what a quarterback is going to be like year after year after year with still a fairly small sample size. So I think they can very reasonably split the difference, bring this roster back and even add to it, and push some of those decisions with the cap down the road a little bit. And then if they do move on from Darnold eventually, then you'll have J.J. McCarthy still on his rookie deal.
I'm so glad you said that, because I want to ask you this question now. There's been talk about this. If you get Sam, and let's just say rather than a franchise tag, you make the big move and you do give him a 4-year contract or something like that, which is what he would want. What do you do with JJ? I mean, and is there any possibility? What are the odds? Give me your numbers, percentages. Do they trade him? Do they trade him to somebody who really, really wanted him? And by the way, coming in this year, he'd probably be the number one quarterback, right? Coming out of the college. If that's the case, what would we get for him? And would that be a possibility that we get a first round draft pick and maybe a pick or two after that as well?
So I think if they were to sign Darnold to an extension, the longest that would be would probably be 3 years, because that's what Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield got after they very similarly had seasons like this. I know they didn't win 14 games, but they had kind of those surprise emerge seasons from years of kind of battling, you know, being journeyman and that kind of thing, which is what Darnold has done. And it's really more like a 2-year commitment in those 3-year deals, the way that they're structured. So if they were able to do that with Darnold, you would still just keep J.J. McCarthy and you would make it into kind of a Jordan Love type of situation. And I think what you would do is you would wait 1 or 2 more years to decide whether to trade him or not. His value is not going anywhere. Everybody knows that J.J. McCarthy was a great prospect coming out, top draft pick. And he has, you know, a great development track that he was on. He's got high character. He's got a ton of talent. And he's also stupidly young. I mean, even if they had Sam Darnold for 2 more years and then you turn it over to J.J. McCarthy, he'll be the same age that Bo Nix and Michael Penix and Jaden Daniels were this year, becoming rookies. So, you know, I think that we love to, you know, kind of talk about, well, how are they going to make that decision right now? But from their perspective, they absolutely love J.J. McCarthy. They love everything that he's even brought to them this year in the meeting rooms. He meets with O'Connell every week to go over some film and different things and talk about things that Sam Darnold did. So they're not going to just say, okay, well, let's just trade him for a first-round draft pick or something like that. They've put way too much into that, and I think they'd be happy to continue to develop him well, seeing how it goes with Sam Darnold. And there might be a point where Darnold wins 13 games again or something next year, and they say, okay, well, look, we've got a top-5 quarterback, so we will trade J.J. McCarthy. But I think you can really delay that decision, and I do not expect them to trade J.J. McCarthy, and I think a lot of people are going to waste their time writing articles proposing fake trades for J.J. McCarthy.
I love it.
Matthew Collar, thanks for joining us on the Sam Darnold Power Hour. We appreciate it, buddy. Yeah. That's what it's turned into.
Hopefully you got one of the Wilf's tickets that you were able to get.
I got the best seat in the house up in the press box. It'll be great.
Just walk with a friend to the game tonight, okay, please?
Oh, my gosh.
Just be safe.
It's
safe,
fine.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, enjoy guys. The game tonight.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Collar joining us as always. Fantastic contribution. Look forward to talking with him as we go deep into the playoffs. Let's hope. But a big game tonight.